You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That didn't start very well. What the hell? I'm not even going to go into it. Now, my headphones didn't work. So then I'm looking for a cable because they're not charged. They're wireless, right? But they're, when I do the show, I got to plug them in. And so I thought I had them plugged in. Evidently, I didn't. So I went to start the show. Music starts. Everything's good. All of a sudden, pew, my headset conks out. Why? Because it's not charged. Okay, so now I need one of those little cords, a USB cord. How many million of them do I have around the house? Can I find one? Oh, no. Can't find one. That's right. And my back is killing me. So I'm walking around the house trying to find this stupid-ass cord. I'm like, are you kidding me? How can I not find one of these things? They're everywhere. And they're not the USB C ones like they have for my new phone. And what do you think? The cord that's laying here, it's a USB-C. Anyway, good morning to you here on a Tuesday morning. Mike McNamara with you. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Joy Perazzo. Joy Perazzo is a is an F-18 pilot. Got out of the Marine Corps and still teaches down at Miramar. So yesterday, the Marine Corps released the, I guess, the redacted report, the investigation, to news outlets. So, you know, it's something that we followed because, again, the incident, an F-18 somehow or other having a mid-air collision with a KC-130 refueler. It doesn't happen. I don't remember ever happening in my lifetime. So what the hell happened? And is this a further indictment of the training of the Marine Corps? You know, so where does it come from? Now, let me just tell you the problems of trying to get people to come on and talk about it. The problem is, you know, if you're part of that community, you know, you're not going to come on and badmouth that community, and I respect that. And so, first of all, there's the loss of six Marines that were killed, five in the 130, and the pilot of the F-18, and the weapons officer, the backseater in the F-18 survives. So, I mean, and you're part of that fraternity. So that's the problem. Now you can, you know, get a, you can get maybe somebody from another service to come on. And, but, you know, most pilots are pretty close-lipped about this kind of stuff. They don't like to go there. So anyway, but I have a group of guys that will come on, and they're confident of what's going to happen when they come on. So Joey Perazzo is going to come on. As I said, he's a former F-18 pilot, and he's going to explain stuff to us. All right. So in the investigation, what's come out of it is it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days. There you go, and then right on cue. The monkeys go at it. So it breaks down into, from what I can see, one of the first things that you read is that there was only captains assigned to kind of, quote, unquote, the night crew. So how does the squadron organize for operations? I don't know. So that's what we'll do with Joey. We'll ask him. Can you explain this stuff to us? Because I see this stuff in the article, but I don't really have any background in it. I don't understand it. So Joey is going to graciously going to do that. But what he's not going to do, and what I never ask anybody to do, we won't editorialize. We'll just kind of explain. So how does a squadron organize itself? The next thing is... what is the responsibility of the lead? Pilot? When you read the investigation, the part of the qualifying, and I don't know, and he can explain this to us, if it's at the RAG or if it's which is the kind of the regimental training squadron, right? So if you're going to go to an F-18 squadron, you report to the RAG of the group, which is the regiment, and that's where you get trained. And then when they check you out, they check all your boxes, and you go to your squadron. So anyway, who's responsible for that? Is that common? Is it not common? So the training piece of it. Then it's the night of the flight. You read that the brief was to quote another friend of mine, it was a Bubba brief. It was a this, that, and the other thing. It was not a, you know, a deliberate, let's sit down, let's go by the numbers, weather, this, that, this is what's going to happen. It wasn't that. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the next issue that comes up in reading is actions in and around the the tanker. Um, So, what is normal when you go tank? Okay. And in the article, it talks about that flight of F-18s executed a, so you have a, had a, had a novice pilot that didn't have very many hours, and they execute a, they're attempting to execute a atypical aviation exit from the tanker. And what I read into it is they were attempting to execute a kind of a cool guy thing. When, as the second F-18, right, the novice, you know, pilot, as he's attempting to move to a spot on the far side of the KC-130, he clips it with the F-18, which sends them both into the water. So, if he could just explain what is normal when they go up there, what's the normal procedure? Because again, I don't know. And then the last thing that, that they spend a fair amount of time discussing is I had to yell at my dog. He knows better than to, right, than to bark when the show is on, although he seems not to. And then the last part is the whole issue of having Ambien in your system and other drugs in your system, and what's normal. There's some stuff that comes out of the chat room that said, you know, pilots were saying, hey, could everybody, you know, go to the dock and ask for this drug. Because I'm out of it. So, anyway, it's the first, again, I think we've all followed this. Anybody who pays attention to the Marine Corps, has watched this and thought, okay, what is it? You know, what's the problem here? Six Marines are dead, and what happened up there? So, it's a rough thing to read, honestly. Because at the end of the day, the finger gets pointed at the leadership of the squadron, and really, as you read it, the flight leader that night. So, and that's me. I won't ask. And again, so Joey is going to come on and just explain what is normal there, right? And I'm pretty disciplined about asking these guys to come on, not for opinions. And certainly the investigation will stand on its own. One other thing I was told was that this is the kind of, if you will, NATOPS forensic investigation. This has now been turned over to the commander of 3MEF, who will decide, and the JAG officers there, who will sit down and decide if it's appropriate that people be charged. And that phase is not over yet, according to what I was told yesterday. So, again, just so with all of that in mind, Joey, you know, said he would come on. Now, you know Joey. He's come on. Joey runs an organization that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping that he and I can do some work. But His organization is called Warrior Passion, and you can look it up if you just do a search on those two words, Warrior Passion, in that sequence. I'm not exactly sure what you'll get if you do Passion Warrior. I'm sure that'll be interesting, but if you do a search on Warrior Passion, you'll come up with Joey's organization, and pretty cool. What he does is they take people and they go out and they do events. They bring veterans together, they skydive, they fly, they go out into the desert, they scuba dive. So they get guys together and doing stuff. Now, much like Tim Lynch turned me on to, when Joey and I were talking yesterday, and I said, hey, I want to partner with you and give your guys, you know, a mission for life when they leave. And he said, dude, I would love to. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit too today. So, good morning to you on a, let's see, on a Tuesday, email. Mac, what's wrong with your back? I don't know. I think it was the bed in the hotel in Quantico. And then when I do the show, like I'll sit, and I don't sit straight up. I'll sit like leaning towards the microphone a little bit. And I think that stress on my lower back combined with the bed I slept in, I stood up and something, I don't know. Now, again, I've had this before. So anyway, but I can tell you that it's a pain in the ass, man. But normally what happens is, you know, I'll spend a couple days on the floor being straight. I get a roller out, right, and I roll my back. I put that under my low back, and I roll my back. And then I'll do some yoga stuff, believe it or not, that I know. And normally, after a few days, it goes away. This is being a little bit more obstinate. I thought it would be done by yesterday, but it's not. Anyway, so that's a state on, that's a physical update on Mac. So just in case you're interested. So with that said, United States Marine Corps Band makes Wednesday, the 24th day of September, official. Good morning to you. And, you know, I had a number of people email me yesterday, and so we're going to do something interesting today. So we're not going to be able to check the news. Joey's going to join us in 9 minutes. And so what we'll do, after we talk to Joey, we'll check a few news headlines. And then what we'll do is, I got asked, like, what can you tell us a little bit more about Frankel? And I thought, well, yeah. So I'm going to play a few cuts that I was listening to yesterday in a second book of his that I've, second or third book I've read. I'm reading of his, and this book is called, hold on, I got to look at my audio library, The Unheard Cry for Meaning, Psychotherapy and Humanism. And much of it is the gobbledygook of a Freudian school that says you are determined by your surroundings and what man is as an animal, and then Frankel's school that falls into the humanistic side of psychiatry, and when he argues yes, all those things are true and valid. However, man's mind and man's decision to choose, ability to choose, trumps all of that. So, anyway, so that's what kind of the book's about. But I'll play some really cool stuff out of the book that I love. So, yeah, I had a number of people that pinged me and said, hey, man, it sounds very interesting. I'd be curious to hear some of what you're talking about. So we'll do that today. So, now, this is dedicated to everybody who is interested in helping other people. The more I do this, the more I believe in my heart of hearts, especially for those who choose, to serve the nation, that they can be fundamentally changed through finding meaning in their life. For those that have lost meaning. And the more I read, the more I talk to people, when you tell them the truth and then challenge them, then it fundamentally changes their life. And I had an episode yesterday where I got a call, for those of you that listen every day, I got a call in the middle of the show. I got off the air, talked to the Marine, and then I contacted another Marine who I know back in Camp Lejeune. Actually, it was Sergeant Doe. I said, "Hey, man, you want to help me?" And he says, you know, I'm all in. I said, "All right." And you know what he said to me? He said, "I know that guy." So Sergeant Doe rolled in on the Marine that called me. And nothing but love, right? Hey, you can do this. Hey, life sucks. We get it. It's going to be all right, though. And you did the right thing. You picked up the phone and you talked to somebody. You can do it, man. You're living proof of what's good on this planet. Right? And what happened was a terrible accident to somebody that he really respected, who he's now lost out of his life. And so, you know, life, you know, hits you with another right hook. What do you do? So, dedicated to all the people that give a shit and want to make a difference. In my opinion, post-traumatic winning is going to go in that direction. And at some point, it's good. Hey, Joe. Are you out of your mind? Do you want to see the Grim Reaper? Anyway. This is dedicated to all those people and to Joe not going to see the Grim Reaper.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Land Corporal here, Land Corporal there, CFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, real quick, check temperatures. We'll take a break, get Joey Perrazzo on, and then we'll talk aviation mishaps. Currently, partly cloudy, 77 at Quantico. Partly cloudy at 80 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny and 73 in 29 Palms. Cooled off there at Camp Pendleton. It is sunny and 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 74. Okinawa, dark cloudy 74. So cooled off everywhere. Fall is upon us. In Ramadi, it is evening. Clear and 91 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. Evening, clear, and 86. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is mostly cloudy and 66. All right, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home fort. Take about a 90-second break. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.